is out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Tax Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
That's what the white man calls them.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you, Lou? You had to bring racism into our first show after leaving First Amendment Radio.
Yes.
I'm Dutch Jones. This is the adventure called the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you live Monday through Friday right now on our own network. We haven't come up with a name for it yet. We should have a contest. It should be, I was thinking Stronghold Radio or something. But this is our own radio network, folks. If you were listening yesterday, you know what happened. If you weren't listening yesterday, you're probably still over there wondering where I am. So what I'm going to do is I may send Lou over there to cut and paste our channel. Lou's doing it right now without even having me ask him. What a kid. He's been doing great. Last 3 days, you've been good, Lou. Teach him how to shoot. He starts pepping up a little bit. Well, folks, we are no longer with First Amendment Radio. They've taken down all of our connections. There's still some good people over there, like we were talking prior to the show when I was playing Pastor Warren Mark Campbell's sermon Arthur, John Arthur's a great guy. I don't listen to much else on there. I just was listening to John Arthur after me every once in a while. But, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, if you still like shows over there, that you can like both of us. It doesn't mean that First Amendment Radio and I hate you. It just means that we don't love each other anymore. Oh, wait. I hate that speech. Leave Lou alone.
Leave me alone.
He's saying don't make me come out there. I can't look at the chat room too much. I'll stay in there. But we're going to keep doing the same good programming here. We are now at ubroadcast.com. Come on in! ubroadcast.com. We're embedded on the dutchjones.tk site. So if you're there and you're one of the guests that are in here, you can register. You have to register to put your name up. Otherwise, you can't type. But for those folks that sent the money in, I was able to purchase bandwidth for several months. We're here. We can have up to 500 listeners at one time right now. So we'll see how many people follow me. We can have co-hosts. I can invite people if they've got a headset. You know, we can do that. The phone number is the same, 559-561-8225. But the cool thing, if you've noticed, we can stream video. Right now I'm just streaming pictures because we don't have enough bandwidth. And I put on the webcam and it was stuttering and everything. But next time I want to show you a news piece or take a section out of one of those great Patriot videos that have been made that I talk about, we can do it. I can show it to you. Plus, now we have 24 hours to fill. So if you folks have got ideas for programming and we can figure this out, you can email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. And what I'll do is we'll talk it out, figure out when you want to go on, and we can set it up so that you can do your own show. And I'm not gonna be like that other place where, you know, I'm gonna listen and tell you who you can and can't talk to. But hopefully it'll be of a Christian flavor, militant, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, this is the chat room in here that's set up with. I got studio audience is asking how I have people talking. Yeah, these are people that are listening, and they can join the chat room and they can talk. So I guess what I can do is, did you go over there and post it? Was there anyone there?
Smoke was there.
Smoke was in the other chat room. Who else?
Oh, that's what
the only
seen.
Familiar one.
Oh, so Smoke is the only one that was still over there. I don't know if Smoke was on our side anyway.
Someone else.
Oh, what's your comment? We got a studio audience comment. Like I said, it's a campfire.
You need to pick up the pace. You're not on the SPLC hate list yet.
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. If you have any questions about what happened between me and First Amendment Radio, feel free to call in. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going
to
be like other people. 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225, and we'll talk about it. But today, and I got to find my list here, the Southern Perversion Law Center, put out a list today of the 40 most dangerous patriots in America. Where did I put it? Oh, where did I put it? Let's see, Scott Armstrong. Here we go. And I was really surprised. The list of 40 people. Some people I thought, you know, okay, yeah, they belong on it. But why don't we go from the bottom? I'll go from the bottom. Number 40 was Ron Paul. That he is a dangerous patriot to American security and is, you know, is spewing hate and racism. Ron Paul is number 40. Now, 39 is Andrew Napolitano. He's that attorney, state judge in New Jersey, Fox News Channel legal analyst. Some people say he's a Knights of Columbus guy and all that. I don't care if he's a Jesuit or not. He says some good stuff, and he's out there. So I don't know how a judge could be a danger, especially the stuff he's doing. 38, I don't know who he is. Paul Brown from Georgia, U.S. representative from Georgia. 37, a name we all know, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is number 37 on the list of Southern Perversion Law Center's most dangerous Americans. And then, of course, Michelle Bachmann, who is the U.S. representative from Minnesota, who is like Sarah Palin with testes. No, I shouldn't have said that.
Moxie.
She's got moxie. Thank you, studio audience. She's like Sarah Palin with moxie. I like her. Edwin Vieira Jr., he's an attorney, author, proponent of constitutional state militias, lecturer. You hear him a lot over there on different radio stations. Now, 34, Paul Venable, former candidate for the Idaho State Representative's House. I don't know who Paul Venable is, number 34. And again, these are the most dangerous patriots in America. Mike Vanderbog, anti-Obama health care activist, never heard of him. Number 32, Amanda Teagarden, executive director for Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. Wow, that sounds scary and dangerous. Free enterprise, sovereignty, and she's from Oklahoma. So Amanda Teagarden, don't know her, but I probably would like her if I met her. 32. 31, Orly Tates, T-A-I-T-Z, California attorney, member of the push to make President Obama disclose his U.S. birth certificate. So number 31 is Orly Tates. 30 is John Stadtmiller, founder of the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. I know who they are. Now, Jim Stachowiak, radio talk show host, longtime militia organizer, claims the Southern Perversion Law Center. Jim Stachowiak, I've heard of him. Joel Skousen, S-K-O-U-S-E-N, is number 28. He's the person that puts out the World Affairs Brief. I know what it is, but don't pay a lot of attention to it. Robert Schultz, founder of We the People. He's 27. 26 is Luke Rudkowski, founder of We Are Change. I'm not a big fan of We Are Change, but I like their in-your-face guerrilla tactics that they use by getting in the face of the elite and asking them questions. John Rowland, he's a computer specialist who founded the Constitution Society. How dare him? A society that studies the Constitution? They should hunt this man down and impale him. That's John Rowland.
I bet they read the Bible, too.
I bet most of these people on here read the Bible, those fiends. Now, number 24, this guy's dangerous, Stuart Rhodes. He's an Army veteran. He's a Yale Law School graduate. And even worse, he's the founder of Oath Keepers, someone who takes the same oath that the rest of us in public safety or in the military have had to take and takes it seriously. He's dangerous. Now, 23, this is a guy I like, Larry Pratt. He's the alternative to Wayne LaPierre. He's the founder of the Gun Owners of America, which, like I said earlier, Gun Owners of America is like the NRA with moxie. I got to be
testes.
Nice. Or testes, yeah. Norm Olson, founder of the now-defunct Michigan Militia. He's in Alaska now, and he's not really bothering anybody, but Norm Olson of the now-defunct Michigan Militia. Now, Daniel New. Now, get this. Now, I've met his son. He's the father of Michael New. He's the Army medic who refused to wear his UN uniform, and he's an author and public speaker. Now, Daniel New and his family, and I think it was Michael New, is the one that I went to front sight with. If I'm wrong, I apologize to the New family. They were going to retreat to South America, but decided to stay and fight for liberty. So God bless them. They're in danger. Now, number 20, John McManus, former member of the U.S. Marine Corps, president of the John Birch Society. I'm not a big fan of John Birch, but how is he a danger? Now, here's one that you guys better know. Jack McLamb, he's a former Phoenix, Arizona police officer, he's an author, and he's a public speaker. He's the one that goes around the country talking about how the CIA is dumping drugs into the ghetto to use money for black bag operations, and he was shot for it. Richard Mack, good friend of the church up here, former Graham County, Arizona sheriff. He wrote the book, The County Sheriff, The Last Hope for America. Sheriff Mack. He's been to our church and spoke. Number 17, a personal idol of mine, a person who inspired me since the mid-90s to do what I'm doing right now, Mark Kornke.
I think he's playing right now.
Yeah, I think Mark Kornke's playing right now. Here, watch. Oh, it's Phyllis Schlafly's in the background. Well, Mark Kornke's up next on our Micro Brew Short Ranger station here. Let me go back to the room, make sure that everything's sounding good. I'm not distorting, am I? Let's see. I'm still, okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. We're still going good. I can't look at the chat room and do this, guys, so and I don't think losing the chat room, so I apologize if I'm not getting your comments. I will get back after I finish the list. Where were we? Mark Kornke, number 17. Number 16 is Cliff Kincaid, syndicated columnist, editor of AIM, Accuracy and Media Publication, founder and president of America's Survival, Inc., and a UN watchdog group. Oh, yeah, he sounds terrible. Larry Kilgore, telecommunications consultant, former U.S. Senate candidate from Texas. He's a secessionist. Okay, so that makes him bad, right? Here's a name I've never heard of, Davey Kidd, prolific columnist, blogger, and public speaker. Number 13, I'm just going to say his name and move on, Alex Jones. Number 12, John Hasey, the public face of Alabama's militia movement in the late 1990s, says the Southern Poverty Law Center. Ted Gunderson, yoo-hoo, retired FBI agent. Ted Gunderson is out there telling the truth about what they're doing with their lists and what they plan to do to you and I, and he's a hero. Ted Gunderson is a patriotic American hero who stands behind the Constitution, not on it like these tyrant elitists that wipe their feet on the Constitution. Okay, number 10, never heard of this guy. Al Garza, head of the Patriots Coalition, an anti-illegal immigration group. Well, I can see right now he's got a Spanish surname. And if he's against illegal immigration, he must be Satan. So that's why he's on the list. Let's see who else we have here.
Dangerous.
He sounds dangerous, yeah. Gary Franchi, who I've interviewed on this very show, producer of Camp FEMA, American Lockdown, National Director of Restore the Republic. We have a lot of differences with Restore the Republic on what needs to be done, but this man is by no means dangerous. Now, Joseph Farah, CEO of WorldNet Daily, I'm not big on them. They're just too much in love with Israel, but that's okay. It's not going to change anything, the fact that he's a patriot. Now, number 7, I know this man personally. I've shook this man's hand. I've seen what a dirty, rotten scum he is, and he's the only one that belongs on this list as far as dangerous. Robert Crooks, he's an Army veteran, so he claims, retired commercial fisherman. He's an anti-illegal immigration proponent guy, which isn't true. He's really a drug smuggler. I know for a fact he's a drug smuggler, and he has several federal warrants out for his arrest, so I don't even know why they put him on this list. He's not a patriot. He's a scam artist. And if the ladies from the coast are listening, this is the same Robert Crooks that you told me you were friends with, guys. Be very careful of this man. Number 6, Bob Campbell. He's the head of the American Grand Jury. These are the guys going around and indicting judges who violate the Constitution. How is that dangerous? They're using the law. Now, Chris Broughton, number 5, he's a Second Amendment advocate, member of We the People. Now, 4 is Catherine Bleich, head of the Liberty Restoration Project. Number 3 is Martin Red Beckman, tax protester. Red Beckman, we have a lot of his books here in the library that I'm sitting in. He's an amazing guy. He's kind of a philosopher patriot. So if you want to read some good stuff, look up Martin Red Beckman. Now, Joe Bannister. This man has been to our church. He's spoken. This man is the former IRS agent, and they're not mentioning it in this list, that took the IRS to court and proved there is no law. He proved it. And now they hate him and they want him gone. He gets death threats, bricks thrown through his windows, all kinds of stuff. Now that brings us to number 1. Now, who would be number 1, do you think? I mean, I would have thought maybe some head of, a Nazi group, or maybe some head of a Klan group because people are afraid of them.
The captain of the shepherd.
The captain of the sea shepherd, maybe. No, that's funny.
Too bad.
That guy needs to be thrown overboard. But I was blown away when I saw who was number 1 on the Southern Perversion Law Center's hit list. Drum roll, please. You have a drum roll? Brrr. Can you do a drum roll? No drum rolls? A pastor from Florida, presidential candidate, friend, personal friend of our pastor here at the Church at Korea, Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
Yay!
Yay! Pastor Chuck Baldwin is a threat. A threat! These people at the Southern Poverty Law Center are insane. They're nuts. It's funny, though. I was speaking to my buddy here and to our pastor about this, and we're offended that we're nowhere on the list. Maybe it's your guys' fault. You guys need to promote us more.
You need to pick the pace up.
Yeah, I need to. I need to pick up the pace. I need to throw a little more hate speech out there when I talk about the Constitution or something.
Yeah,
I ought to say that the Constitution is the law of the land. Yeah, there you go.
Put a flag on your website.
Yeah, I should put a flag on my website or something. Oh, I already got a Confederate flag. I'm a little hurt. I'm a little let down that the church at Kaweah, our pastor, or any one of us weren't up there. Of course, they probably don't even know who I am. We went to their website and Googled all my, or searched all my aliases at the Southern Perversion Law Center, and I'm not even on there for nothing. I used to be on there in one name because they were trying to get me for violating some pregnant lady's rights by pushing her back over the border. But when they found out I had no money and they couldn't sue me, they dropped that one. So they stopped bugging me.
There's no leftist organizations on that list.
Yeah, there's no leftists. You don't have the New Black Panther Party on there.
No.
You don't have the Nation of Islam on there. But if you do go to the Southern Perversion Law Center on their hate map, they do have the Nation of Islam on there, don't they? Yeah. So we're, and they have, not La Raza, what's the other one?
Aztlan,
however you pronounce that.
That's true.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. That's the list. And I sent it to most of the registered listeners. If you are a listener to this show and you want to stay on my mailing list, please, please email me. Remember I told you guys I got hacked and all my lists got erased or stolen. So email me at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Okay, I'm going to lower this.
That's where D's got his list from.
That's probably where D's got his list from, all you guys on there. Southern Poverty Law Center is a joke. Man, PennDOT is taking over the chat room. Look at all the people in the chat room, folks. If you're new to the chat room, just try to type something. It'll tell you how to register so you won't just be guessed with a number. I mean, if you want to stay as a guest, that's fine if you're doing this from the website and you don't want to type. But if you want to chat, you've got to register. And I think, does that protect your name forever or something, or is that something else? Do you have to register every time or just sign in every time, Lou?
Just
sign in. So, because we're going to be using this. We're going to be using
PennDOT told them all about you.
Yeah, when the Southern Poverty Law Center called PennDOT, he really pushed, but I just couldn't get on the list. I've been floating around 75, maybe. We need to push for them to extend the list because I'm really feeling left out. I'm just not feeling the Southern Perversion Law love that I should be feeling, you know? I'm ending PennDOT's dictatorship of the chat room. Folks, yes, the chat room is a wonderful place. Or you can give us a call at 559-561-8225. Go turn the squirrel off, Lou. Turn the pan all the way off on the squirrel. I told Lou it was lizard. He didn't want to eat it. So now that he knows it's squirrel, he'll eat it, or rabbit or whatever. Just turn it all the way off. But you can call in, 559-561-8225. A couple other things. You know, I don't want to dwell on what happened. But there are a few things that you guys need to know, and the one fact is that I was doing fine when I was on you broadcast before I got back onto First Amendment Radio. So I did not go to him and ask him to go on. He would send people up here and bug me and ask me to come back on his. So he's probably hurting over there. So don't do anything to him. I mean, just let him be a hermit in his own misery. It seems to be a pattern with him, so I don't want anybody to do anything to them or with them or anything like that. Just leave him alone. Let's move on. But please let other listeners know where I went, okay? So drop into their chat room once in a while and say, hey, Dutch is over here, and just tell them to go to my website, and they can find it there. Oh, he blocked us?
Yeah.
So for what? You can't get into the chat room?
I can't get on anything on his site.
Ah, they blocked our IP from First Amendment Radio. So you guys need to go in there for me into the chat room and make sure people get redirected. Trying to find this article. Okay, here we go. I've got a little story, and I'm going to talk about Israel here. So, I'm not on First Amendment Radio. I can talk about Israel. I'm in charge now.
You can even talk about the Klan.
I can even talk about the Klan if I want to. And we'll be giving you up, by the way. The nice man, Frank Ancona, who called in, and I don't know, I can't remember what his rank was, the spokesperson for that Missouri Klan group. I'm going to keep up on that. I'm going to tell you, because they need to win that lawsuit, folks. We cannot have bureaucratic hacks picking and choosing who gets to use public facilities and reinterpreting history at the same time. So now that we're over here, we can actually do an hour interview with them. So when they have their next day in court, he's going to call back in, and we're going to talk about it. And there will be no fear and no fighting, I hope. Okay, I need to talk to you about a little thing that I got here from Reverend Ted Pike. You may remember him. He came on the show. Reverend Ted Pike and Aaron and Harmony Dawes put together this little report. See you later. The surveillance industry in America got its start in 1994 with the passage of the CALEA, or Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. The law mandated that telecom companies configure their networks to supply the government with intercepts authorized by court-issued warrant. Soon after the 9/11 attacks, President George Bush enacted a secret executive order for massive warrantless wiretapping. Only 8 members of Congress and 1 FISA judge were privy to this information. Now today, the FBI also authorized the eavesdropping, and a warrant is no longer needed to tap your phone. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let me pull you guys up, make sure everything's still going okay there. You want me to dwell on it? We'll get back to this. It's bad enough that the government can listen to you whenever they want now. They don't need a warrant anymore. We are literally in an Orwellian reality. Now, Israeli companies, now these are private companies, not the Israeli government, are paid by the American government, the FBI, to wiretap you. Why is that? Because technically it is illegal for the American government and American citizens to do wiretaps. But if Israel's doing it, it's outside the realm of the jurisdiction of the federal laws. Now, they are authorized by our government. They are doing the actual work of listening to and recording your phones, email, and internet communications, which means they're listening to this right now. Now, they're doing it for at least 100 nations. This is big business in Israel. Now, America is probably their biggest customer. Mass surveillance businesses have grown up, and competition grew exponentially after 9/11, of course. Each company wanted to build bigger and better mass surveillance systems, which were then sold to whoever could pay the price, including some of the most repressive and authoritarian governments on the planet. Now, this is all from James Bamford. He's author of the book The Shadow Factory. The subtitle is The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. Now, Bamford reveals in this book that America's largest telecom company, AT&T, and Verizon have outsourced the job of eavesdropping through their networks, which carry billions of American communications daily. This is in cooperation with the NSA. That's the National Security Agency, folks. And so you've got, just like they outsource who feeds our troops, they are outsourcing the spies. Now, the spy job for these major companies was outsourced to 2 mysterious companies with very troubling foreign connections. AT&T uses a company called NARUS, N-A-R-U-S, to keep records of everything said on their systems. NARUS was found by an Israeli entrepreneur in Israel with ties to Unit 800. That's the NSA version of Israel. Verizon spy system also relies on an Israeli company named Verint, V-E-R-I-N-T. Google that, V-E-R-I-N-T. Now, the founder of Verint is an FBI fugitive who remains so. Isn't that funny? They're doing business with a guy who's wanted in this country. Congress granted retroactive immunity to these companies, AT&T and Verizon, for allowing their systems to be used to spy on American citizens. You guys remember that. Now, it's stated plainly, American consumers are subject to warrantless surveillance by Israeli-founded companies without congressional oversight or public knowledge. This is in the book that Bamford put out. Bamford details how an Israeli spinoff of Verint is able to do advanced voice mining that finds one person's voice in a mountain of intercepted calls. We all know that the space age has been here for a while. The technology is there. That's why I don't try to hide. People say, you should be hiding. Well, I mean, I'm secure, but I'm not going to hide. Now, with remote access to the internal and international voice and data communications of over 100 countries around the world, including the United States, Verint's headquarters in Tel Aviv has a capacity rivaled only by the NSA, if not greater. They probably don't tell us exactly what they're doing, especially when coupled with Perse's voice mining capabilities. Perse is an example of how close and interconnected these companies are with Israel. The intelligence community is now private and government. As a factor of how great concern, considering how much of their debugging equipment is now secretly hardwired into the American telecommunications system. So, like the picture of the octopus, you know, that Pastor Pike told us about, that's what's happened with the private and military and governmental intelligence agency in Israel. They've taken over our communication system. Now, a former senior official in Shin Bet, Israel's secret intelligence, is on Perse's board of directors. The advisory board for the company that backs Perse includes a former chief of Israeli Mossad, And Bamford says the greatest potential beneficiaries of this marriage between the Israeli eavesdroppers and the Americans, America's increasingly centralized telecom grid, are Israel's intelligence agencies. Who always spies against America and gets caught? Israel, right? In 2004, a former intelligence official told the LA Times that there is a huge, aggressive, ongoing set of Israeli intelligence activities directed against the United States. Anybody who worked in counterintelligence is in a professional capacity will tell you the Israelis are among the most aggressive and active countries targeting the United States. They undertake a wide range of technical operations and human operations. The denial is laughable. Israel is not our ally. I wonder who else they're selling this stuff to. I mean, sure, they're selling us out to our own government if we say something that's questionable, or we say something like, oh, the Constitution must be upheld. Boom, there they send it off. Last year, a judge dismissed charges against two top AIPAC lobbyists, you know who that is, AIPAC, accused of leaking classified information to Israel. U.S. Justice Department prosecutors said the case should be dropped because it would require exposing sensitive military intelligence. Obvious evidence the lobbyists had actually been spying. So two spies in AIPAC. For those of you who don't know, AIPAC stands for like the American Israeli, I don't even know what it stands for anymore. It's like a type of llama, I think. AIPAC, isn't it? An AIPAC alum? No, it's a lobbying group. It's a lobbying group of for Israel. Most Americans might not even be startled to learn more about Israeli espionage because they're so firmly convinced that Israel is our ally and has American interests at heart. Tell that to the men from the Liberty. This is not true. In their now famous paper, The Israeli Lobby, Mersheimer and Walt write bluntly that Israel, okay, here we go, does not behave like a loyal ally. Israel's officials frequently ignore U.S. requests to renege on promises, including pledges to stop building settlements and to refrain from targeted assassinations of Palestinian leaders. Israel has provided sensitive military technology to potential rivals like China in what the State Department Inspector General called a systematic and growing pattern of unauthorized transfers. Now, let me clarify something here. I don't care what Israel does within its own borders. I really don't. We have no right to meddle with their affairs, with their problems with the Palestinian people or the Arab people at all. So I don't really care where they put their settlements. That's up to them. If they are a sovereign state, what I do have a problem with is that in one hand, they're pretending to be our ally. In the other hand, they're ripping off the family silver and selling it for crack. Now, according to the General Accounting Office, Israel also conducts the most aggressive espionage operations against the U.S. of any ally. In addition to the case of Jonathan Pollard, remember him, who gave Israel large quantities of classified material in the early 80s, which it reportedly passed to the Soviet Union in return for more exit visas for Soviet Jews. So they came here, found a guy who was willing to sell secrets for money, got those secrets from that man, traded them with the Soviets to get more not real Jews to go to Israel, right? Isn't that weird? Now, a new controversy erupted in 2004 when it was revealed that a key Pentagon official called Larry Franklin had passed classified information to an Israeli diplomat. Israel is hardly the only country that spies on the U.S., but its willingness to spy on its principal patron casts further doubt on its strategic value. So, you know, we could go on and on. It has nothing to do. I'm not here to talk about the Israeli thing, but I'm here to talk about the fact that we have sold our sovereignty as individuals to Israeli companies. They listen to this. They listen to your cell phone. They listen to your hardline communications. They listen to chat messages that you do. It's all high tech. They've outsourced it to Israel. And then what does Israel do with it? They sell it to everyone else. Our enemies. So how can Israel be considered to be our friend? Well, we've come up on a half hour. I'd like to do a little break. We're going to play a song real quick so I can get some water. You got a song? Do Carl Klang. You got Carl Klang? Klang. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. And we'll be right back after this song. We do requests, but you have to call in. We'll be right back. This is Dutch Jones, and I am on my own First Amendment radio network because I believe in the First Amendment. Huh?
No time restrictions.
No time restrictions. We don't have time restrictions. Go ahead and play the music, and I will be back after the song. Play it.
Yeah.
Are you playing it?
Yeah.
I don't hear it. There it is. We'll be right back.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS. And for his disobedience, they planned his fiery death. And now all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. Five forty-five p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free, through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. In love and war.
Okay, whoa, I gotta turn that down. That was Carl Klang. That was Carl Klang. All is fair in love and war. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Let me plug back in my headphones here so I can hear myself. I've got one of those handicaps that I started out in professional broadcasting, and I have to hear myself in my headphone. I hate it, but it's just something I have to do.
Well, you've got one heck of a nerve.
This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Do you guys want to hear the roll-in again? Do you guys want to hear that? You don't really need it. It's a more laid-back version. Well, we're going to come up with a new opening, something a little more appropriate to free radio, not controlled radio like I was on. Let me know if you guys can hear me. You can call me at 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Lou just ran into the kitchen to go get some rabbit out of the fire pit. Don't eat it all. Leave some for your ma. She'll be here any minute. Wow. But before the break, we were talking a little bit about everything, actually. We were talking about the Israelis being outsourced to do our surveillance. Now, one thing that we've noticed here since the Hutari thing, they've been doing an awful lot of work on the telephone poles around our little church area here. I don't want to say compound. People get mad when I say compound, but it's our ranch. And we saw the same guy up for 3 days in a row up on a pole. The torrential rain came in. It's snowing here. Central California, we got snow. It snowed at 1,000 feet, and it's like 40 degrees. But he's not out there now because it's too cold. And so we haven't seen that kind of, you know, that it's just weird. It's like lately we've been seeing a lot of activity. Most of the people I'm talking to around the country from different militias are seeing a lot of stuff. We heard yesterday from Frank Ancona. He said that because he filed that federal lawsuit, you know, they're pulling him over all the time just to say, hey, how you doing? You know, they're sending Child Protective Services out there. And so we are definitely under the gun. Anybody who thinks this isn't a real threat hasn't been paying attention, right? We played a sermon, for those of you that tuned in early. It was basically about not giving into the spirit of fear. Now, every year here at the Church of Kaweah, and I'm going to talk about the Church of Kaweah a little bit here, we have a conference in the first weekend of October. And we had someone coming from League of the South. It was a, I think he was on the list, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chaplain for the League of the South.
And
don't tie with your mouth full, especially on the air, Lou. Okay. And we knew that if we had them, we were going to get the attention, but we don't care.
And on the hate map, the League of the South is...
Yeah, the League of the South is considered a hate group. It's a historical reenactment society. Anyway, but so now we're looking for another speaker at our Old Paths Conference. And I would like to see, and I don't know why I'm going to recommend it, that we should have people from the Liberty, maybe have Ted Pike come out. But if you've got any ideas for good patriotic speakers, please send them to me. Put me in contact with them. Give them the Dutch Jones Show email at yahoo.com, dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. Because these are great conferences, folks, and it's not too early to promote it, because people, I know with the economy you have to prepare, but if you can't afford a hotel room up here, come and just sleep on the floor with us. That's basically what we do. We put tents out, we open our house up. Well, it's not really a house, I live in a library, but you get the point. But we cannot stop doing what we're doing. We have to move on forward. Like we had to cut down a tree, fell down in front of the church today because of all the rain and the snow and everything. It couldn't stay up. I mean, the ground is just, it's like walking on sponges. So the tree fell down. We're out there using chainsaws. Yep, they let me use a chainsaw. Pretty amazing. And we were talking about, you know, what we should do. And I said, just keep doing what we're doing. And the pastor said, yeah, let's not stop. Keep doing what we're doing. I'm seeing people who at first were gripped in fear about, like, the Hutari being rounded up and, you know, we could be next because we're in that same genre of militia. Instead, we only lost a husband and wife that freaked out and left, but then we gained a whole bunch of other people. Rocky Hill's not here. I don't know where he is. Hopefully Rocky Hill's one of the guests. If you are, give me a call, Rocky Hill, 559-561-8225. But we gained a whole bunch more people in this. So fear can be a crippler, or fear can drive you to do heroic things, right? So that's kind of what I want to talk about here for the next good chunk in a while here. We cannot simply sit back and wait for them to come and get us, right? We can't do that. There are things that you can do to your house, things that you can do to your car, and things that you can do to your place of work that might make it a little easier for you. And I'm not talking about stashing guns everywhere or anything like that. It's simpler things. Like wherever you park, park where you can see your car from where you work. You know, if you can do that. So you can see if anybody's messing with your car, if they're going to put a tracking device on it or something like that. Little things. There's so many little things. I had somebody ask me, how do you know if you're being tailed? What I like to do is I assume I'm always being tailed. So I'll just pull over randomly and just check the cars that go by me and do that a couple times. If you see the same car over and over again, odds are you're being tailed. It takes a lot of brain power, you know, and people say, how can you live like that? It's just so stressful. To me, living like a sheep is even far worse. Thanks. People are sticking up for me in the First Amendment radio chat. Cool. Hopefully somebody went over there and redirected them here. That would be good. I don't know.
We couldn't go in there.
Yeah, we can't get in there, but thank you for sharing that with me, PennDOT. But you've got to start thinking, like I always said, and I hate to be driving it home too much, but think strategically. What we're doing is everybody has about 2 packs. Now we got 3 packs. And since Stacy's working, you know, 40 miles away, because, you know, we live up in the hills, she has to go to the nearest city to find a job, we put stuff in her backpack and put stuff in her trunk and rally points. You've got to designate those rally points, folks. 1, 2, or 3 of them. Lose the spy. Lou can't get in over there. No, he can't get in. I'm looking at his computer. He's just stuffing his face with corn chips and dead squirrel. What was I talking about? Rally points. And not just outside your house, but outside the city. Outside the city. That's what you want to do. But last week, before you know all the Hutari stuff went nuts and things like that, I was talking about gear and what type of gear to take with you. Yeah, he's showing me. They won't let us into Liberty True Radio from this IP address.
Liberty Radio Live.
Liberty Radio Live, either. So, but what you can do is, if you don't have a whole lot of funding, which we don't, just go to the secondhand store and get a backpack. Get one that's got earth tones. I've got a couple here that were bright colored. I spray painted them green. Period. That's what I did. I went online and I ordered some high altitude poncho material, like the white ponchos for cold weather. And I'm going to buy a little bit of dye because they're cotton. They're more like not ponchos. They are rain resistant, but they're not plastic. They're a heavy cotton. And I'm just going to dye them green so that they'll fit this situation down here, and take some brown and some tan paint and touch them up. They're like $5 for those, rather than spending $15 on the right gear. Secondhand stores, you can find just bolts of material. Now's a good time to learn how to sew, people. Learn how to sew. One of the things that I've done to my tactical pants, I've put knee pads in them. You'd be surprised. Just some padding, a little extra padding, will give you that extra 20 to 30% so you go a little farther. So when you go down into the prone position, you're not limping when you get up. It's the little things we need to focus on now. I was talking about the strategic stuff, but right now I want to focus on the little tiny things. Every piece of tactical gear that you have, whether it's a vest, a web belt, whatever, the things that you need to have in it are simple for survival. I'm not talking about fighting. Make sure you have a way to start a fire. Make sure you have some type of tinder or fire starting material. Steel wool with a magnesium strip is great. You know, everybody talks about the 9-volt battery, but whatever. Make sure you put your matches in a waterproof container if you don't have waterproof stuff. But be checking all of it. The one thing that I found in the 4 days of training that really, really, really came in handy was stick a couple lighters in your gear. You know, because if you have smoke bombs or firecrackers that you're going to use for diversionary devices, you wouldn't be surprised. Nobody had lighters, including me. I didn't have any lighters in my tactical gear. But you don't know when you may need to create a diversion. Hint, hint, clue, clue. Right now, over our fireplace are certain amusement devices that can be lit. They're not dangerous. They're not illegal. They're just smoke bombs, sparklers, that type of thing. But they're great, great, great distractions. They may focus on that while I'm going out the back door. Give you that edge. Go to the dollar store, and they sell these little decorative bags of marbles. They're like not even perfectly round. They're like all different shapes. Buy a bunch of those bags, put them in a glass fishbowl, stick some flowers in it, and stick it right by your front door. So as you're going out, you slam that thing on the ground, it breaks, the glass goes everywhere, and the marbles go everywhere. What happens to the guy coming through the front door when he steps on that? The marbles take him down, the glass slows him up. That's how we got to think now, folks. When you want that home takeover robber coming through the front door, you want to slow him down and hurt him. You may not, you know, have time to grab the cooking spray and slick up your tile, but you can definitely swat at that little fish bowl full of plastic flowers with the marbles in there, and it looks good. Nobody even thinks twice about it, right? One thing I like to do, if you have a fireplace, keep a hurricane lamp by the fireplace full of fluid. Throw that thing in there for a distraction. I mean, they're going to destroy your house anyway while you're going out the back door, so why not make it a little hard on them? Anything you can do to break down their tempo is a good thing to do. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, but I brought it up in our post-discussion for our training. 100-pound test fishing string cut into about 40-foot lengths and hidden all over your gear. You tie it all over the place, zigzag it across the floor. I don't care if they have night vision. They're not going to see it, and they're going to start dragging your coffee table and fall. And it only takes a few seconds to put it up. Only takes a few seconds. You may even hook it from the doorknob to your jar of marbles, right? And if any of you have read the book, I forgot to talk about that. Oh, excuse me, I'm trying to reach for something and I pulled down a speaker. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know my own limits in my headphone cable. I thought it was longer. I moved it. Now, I've got a book in front of me called Ragnar Benson's The Most Dangerous Game, Advanced Man-Trapping Techniques. I said before I wouldn't talk about this kind of stuff, but now's the time to talk about it. There's all kinds of great things you can do, and it's called The Most Dangerous Game, and it's by Paladin Press, and we uploaded it. This was donated by Rocky Hill, and we uploaded it to
How to Be a Gorilla.
If you go to the DutchJones.tk website, you see How to Be a Gorilla. Click there. The Most Dangerous Game is up there now. And this is an older book written by a soldier of fortune, I guess I would put it. And there's some great devices in here. Some things that I didn't even think of, different man traps, things like that. And it's all right there. So I don't need to tell you about it. You can go download it in PDF form. The one that I thought was the greatest is, like, if you know they're coming in, you build a fire in your fireplace. I don't know how you would pre-stage this, but maybe it's in more of a tactical situation. You have a large bucket of gasoline perched up on top of your fireplace, and then you hook a string to the doorknob, so when they yank the door open, it pulls the gasoline down into the open fire and creates kind of an airburst weapon. You know, just woof. That's not something I would want just hanging around up there. There's got to be a better way to do it. I like my hurricane lamp idea better. But think about that. Hooking the doorknob or the door to all kinds of stuff. I'm not even talking lethal things. I'm talking just, you know, things that'll twist an ankle or something like that. So that just in case it's a friendly, you don't go, oh, sorry about that. I didn't mean to put a harpoon through your head. So you don't need to do that. But there's all kinds of things you can do to harden your house and harden your target. Your car. Get wasp spray and put it in your car. The cool thing about wasp spray is if the bad guys are wearing protective masks, aim for that filter and clog the filter. I'm talking about the foamy wasp spray. It's going to clog the filter. They have to take the mask off, and then you can hit them in the face with the wasp spray. It's a dirty little trick, but it works. And I think if more and more people would fall in line and just go buy a couple cans of wasp spray, that's a cheap way of defending yourself against whatever enemy is coming after you, two-legged or four-legged. We were just walking back after putting the truck away, and it was the one time in a long time I wasn't armed because, you know, we were chainsawing and stuff. I didn't want to have my pistol on my belt. And this pit bull comes out of nowhere and comes after us. And the only weapon I had was my Gerber tool, but I had it. So, but I was thinking, wow, if I had my wasp spray. Careful, you can get sued for that. Well, I'm talking about when nobody has the time to sue PennDOT. I'm talking about when things are getting really ugly.
If not, you gotta get Inferno.
And one of the, yeah, you can go buy Inferno, which is like a million degrees or whatever. But it's on how you word it. Go, somebody kicked in my door and there happened to be wasp spray. I just grabbed it and sprayed it. I didn't know what it was. It could have been air freshener. I just wanted to do something to make them stop. It's all in how you prepare yourself for it and how you answer the nagging questions that get thrown at you after the incident. But you're right. Check your local laws. I had a guy, a good guy, hopefully he's in here calling me. And we do have to be careful with some of these laws. Don't let them take you out of the fight because you did something stupid. But if you just play stupid and said, I don't know, the door got kicked in, I just had this can in my hand I was putting away. Phew. Pepper spray is legal, but I'm not a big fan of pepper spray. One, in California, the amounts that you're allowed to have are useless, and the distances they squirt are useless. I still like wasp spray better. I don't care if I get sued. I got nothing to lose. I'd rather have that guy on the ground rolling around so I can pick up his weapon and run away. See what I'm saying? And he won't die, and he won't go blind. He'll be thinking twice next time before he kicks in a door what might meet him. Right? That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about rigging up a 12-gauge to take off somebody's head. I'm talking about disabling ankle twisters, things like that. They're going to bring people down. Basically, anybody who's ever watched Home Alone 1, 2, or 3, those tricks are great. Those tricks are great. You know, you rig up if you've got a stairwell and your door opens up to stairs, you can rig up a pendulum device that swings a cinder block into the door when they open it. So the first guy in gets clocked with a cinder block. Now, if you got kids, it's hard to rig this stuff up, but you can have the materials ready to go. And what I'm saying is, sink a really strong eye bolt into a board in your ceiling, you know, work out the math, figure out the length of rope you need, and you can make some pretty simple triggers. And the bigger the device on the end of the rope, the more it'll take out. Do you realize that during the Czechoslovakian and when Russia invaded all their satellite countries, they were using I-beams on pendulums to take out tank tracks? They did a little bit of math, and they figured out where they could swing these, and they rigged up really simple, rudimentary triggers. And they would nail these things right in the track, bust the track, and then they'd Molotov the tank, and the tank operators would drop out of the bottom and run away. Now, granted, they didn't win because they didn't do it enough, but that's a great tactic. I was in fear for my life or the life of another, and I was just trying to make the person stop. That's right, PennDOT. Just remember that. I was in fear for my life or the life of others, and I was trying to make the man stop. I wasn't trying to kill him. I was trying to stop him. And the only thing that I grabbed from my kitchen counter was this wasp spray. You know, I almost grabbed the steak sauce, but, you know, I realized that wouldn't do any good. WD-40 with a lighter is a good deal. If you guys have ever done that, I used to get rid of black widows when I'd go down under trailers and stuff.
If you put that in a super soaker.
Yeah, we talked before about converting super soakers. That's something you got to experiment with. You know, put a lot of ammonia in a super soaker and spray them in the mask or in the face. You know, you get good distance, you know. It's all these little things. But sinking, I got a whole bunch of eye bolts here that I just bought at the hardware store. I'm going to put one at the top in each corner of my door. Yeah, hairspray at the 99-cent store, Shopping Gal says. That's a great one. You put the eye bolts in early, anchor them into the wood, and you get some dog leashes and just put them across. In the middle of the night, when they're tearing your door off with that happy, how you doing, battering ram, it's going to slow them down. And you don't use the fabric dog leashes. You use the cable dog leashes, so it takes them a little bit to get through them. And that way, you just have eye bolts sticking out. You're talking about, you know the ones I'm talking about? They have the loop on the end. That's it. And I have my my screw gun charged, and I have a bucket of screws, and I'm just going to sink them in the door. Now, my front door opens out. If you have a door that opens in, that's even better. You know, sink two or three into each run of the door and put them deep into the door jamb. They're not coming in. And that'll give you time to get away. Hopefully, you don't want to Alamo it. I don't like the Alamo concept. I don't like it at all. But these are things I'm hoping that you could do to slow them down. Strobe lights. You get a strobe light, activate it, point it at their face. I'm talking strong ones. Get one of those party strobe lights. If you can get a landing gear light, set that up, trigger it so it goes off when they open the door. It's going to disorient them. It's the same thing they do with flash bangs. But here's a way to do it without burning your house down. A strobe light. And you may say, but they're going to cut off the power. Well, what we've done is we've got backup battery power here. They cut off our power, we got a couple hours in batteries. And if we're smart, we turn everything off and we just wait till they come in. There's so many things you can do. Things that people will not even think of when they see it. They'll go, oh, that looks like a decoration sitting there by the front door. We all know the trick about anchoring the door with a chair. Well, cut some 2x4s to pre-fit the doorknob and, you know, with a plate on the bottom and just stick them in a closet somewhere. Then when the time comes, you stick them on the doorknob. Pre-planning is everything in this type of war that we're going to be fighting. It's going to be just like the KGB coming in the middle of the night. Whoa, what happened there? Somebody unplugged something. What was that, Lou?
Is it still going?
Oh, yeah, we're still going. You just unplugged your headphones, so it made my headphones go super loud. Yeah, that was really freaky. Let me try this one. I bet if we do this one, we do this. Hello? Hello? No. Oh, that was weird. Sorry about that, guys. We're learning new stuff here. We're trying to rewire everything and make it work differently. Sorry about the buzz. But you can do a lot of things that way. Now is the time, if you've never had a dog, to get a dog. Also for early warning systems. You know, dogs, geese, anything. A pigeon in a cage in your front window that's going to get all agitated when somebody walks up to it and looks in. That's what you need to be doing now. Early warning stuff. If you can afford them, the motion sensor camera devices that they sell at any decent hunting shop or gun shop, you can order them offline. They have a motion sensor. They flash and take a picture. So if they're doing pre-attack surveillance, you can catch them. Flood the area with infrared. I know this sounds kind of high-tech, but if you get a bunch of infrared and flood the area with it, it's going to make their video cameras and still cameras do some weird stuff when they take pictures, especially if it's pointing right at them. If you have the time, underneath all your windows, find some of the prickliest, thorniest plants that will grow in your area and plant them. Make it almost impossible for them to approach windows without getting hurt. Now they've got shields and blankets and stuff. Well, so let's say you have a 2-foot-high shrub, and it's prickly and all that, and they're going to throw something on it. Take about 4 pieces of rebar or PVC, whatever you've got that you can sink in the soil, and stick them in there and point the ends. Use them to hold the plant up. If they throw a blanket over it and jump on it, They're going to get pierced by the rebar or the PVC that's been pointed. And if anybody asks, say, well, I just used to hold up the plants. What are you doing jumping in my shrubs? It's part of the irrigation system. The rebar is there because, I zip tie the plants to them so they grow in a certain fashion. A lot of little things you can do so that they can't get to your house. It's going to slow them down. You hear some home invasion robber screaming in your shrub, you can dial 911, get into your safe room, whatever you want to do. All depends on the scenario. You see in the movies all kinds of weird stuff like electrifying doors or anything like that. I've never experienced any of that. I've never tried to. I don't know how you could do that modern-wise because the breakers would just blow. So if people ask that, I get emails on that all the time. How do you electrify a doorknob? I don't know. If you have the skill to take apart a taser and hook it to the doorknob, let me know about it. That'd be something interesting to do. One thing that I've seen done I've done it myself. If you have an automated sprinkler system, come up with a way that you can activate it remotely or turn it on from, other than the garage. Even if it's just water spraying on them, it's going to slow them down and make their lives miserable, right? All the sprinklers come on at the same time when you throw a switch. I mean, these are little things that you can do to give you an edge, to slow down the tempo of the attack. I told you about the marbles. I told you about the doors. Oh, pre-prepare, and this one's a funny one. I've told you guys to take plywood and put spikes through it, nails and screws. Everybody said, well, that's mean. Well, if you have kids, you can't do that because they could get hurt. But you could easily prepare a bunch of severe tire damage pieces of wood and stick them in front of all your windows with, leaned up so the nails aren't on the ground. When you go by, you just flip it down. But if you want to be less lethal, you can take a bunch of double-sided tape, put it all over a bunch of cardboard pieces and put them all around your house. Now you can just keep the double-sided tape in a tape gun and don't deploy it until you need it and put it all over the place. They walk in. It's impossible for a human being to not kind of get weird when their foot sticks. They start looking down. And that's when you hit them, when they're looking down. You getting my drift? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Are you receiving what I'm transmitting, Lou says? Are you harvesting what I'm planting? What were some of the other ones? I don't know. We didn't make any up. Are you tugging what I'm putting out there? It's about simpleness so that they don't notice it up front, but they can mean everything. If you've got rails leading up to your front door, saw a couple of them out so they're not that strong. I know you're saying, oh, my homeowner's insurance, somebody's going to fall. Well, I'm talking about matters of life and death now. We've got to think strategically. We've got to realize that we're at war with the enemy. Not because we declared it, but because they declared it. There are now 9 prisoners of war that are being held hostage, and one has been tortured with a blowtorch. We know that, with a cutting torch. We know that. Do you want to be the next Hutari, or do you want to be able to get out of the way? There's 2 ways you can do it. One, you can stop everything you're doing and go completely underground, which most of you can't do. You picking up what I'm laying down? I sure am. The other is to pre-plan for it and just come up with all kinds of little counter tactics that will keep them on their toes or make them worry about their toes getting cut off. Landscaping is a great way to do it. Clear away everything. Clear away everything. One thing that I recommend you do is you figure out ranges. If you live in a rural interface like we do, start looking at where concealment and cover is around your house if you have to defend yourself on your front lawn. And pre-check the ranges to known points, like the telephone pole where they might jump behind and hide. Put a little reflector on it. Use your laser rangefinder, pace it off, average it by 3. I mean, if you have a laser rangefinder, it's really easy to do. And then you make a note of it. It's better if you memorize it, but make a note of it. But if you're going to pace it off 3 times and take the average of those 3. You'll get a more accurate setting. Now, if it's under 50 yards, it doesn't really matter. Whatever you're shooting is going to be, in the human body. But if you live way out in the country and your mailbox is, 300 yards away, you need to know that. You need to know where they're staging. One trick, too, is you need to get a scanner. A lot of people say, scanners don't do you any good because the feds and cops are all encrypted and they're using trunking systems. Yes, they are. But what is the first thing they do before they go in to kill a bunch of people in a family? They call the fire department and the public safety guys and say, you guys need to stage about 5 miles away and be ready to go. Those guys don't trunk that often. Those guys don't encrypt their communications. And you can hear them say, okay, staging for police activity, that kind of thing. And you find out where they're at, and you kind of go, hey, that's in my area of operations. I better have a heads up. So scanners are still good to have. We've got a couple old ones here, and we listen to them. We know what's going on. We know when the ambulance is going somewhere. We hear about transports. And it takes some practice. You got to listen to them to understand. Because some people say, hey, did you hear? They go, no, all I hear is static. I don't understand what they're saying. It's an acquired skill to understand what's being said on a scanner. And I understand that completely. Okay, guys, it is 6 o'clock. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We're going to play some music. Please don't go anywhere. Give me another Carl Klang there, brother. Do you have Lookout for Martial Law? And then cue up The Men Behind the Wire. We'll play you two songs. Yeah, I know you can follow trunk systems, but some people get confused about it. So we're going to play the music. I'm going to fade out. I'm going to eat something. That's why I'm playing two songs. It's not a potty run. What do you got, Lou?
I got Marshall
One. You're supposed to have them queued up already. We'll be right back.
Like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror? Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain, reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. There was a time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might.
And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came running, breaking little homes with scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers watch the blood fall from their head.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Without a gun.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set him roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention.
World order, a new world order.
Attention! This is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time to catch
Jones! Radio program!
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm looking for a tap and die and some WD-40.
It is 6 p.m. I don't know the date. What's the date today? Oh, it's right in front of me. 4/21/2010. It's 6:09 p.m. Pacific time. I am Dutch Jones, and like a phoenix, less than 24 hours later, I have risen from I wasn't really that bad. I'm being melodramatic. I sound like a fag, don't I? We were... split off of First Amendment Radio, and now we've launched our own network. We've taken several people with us. I'm getting tons of email and little contacts. I appreciate it, folks.
Thank you, guys.
Stacy's here. She walked in.
I love you all.
She didn't know about the miracle of you guys donating the money so we could get on today.
Thank you so much.
She came home thinking I was going to be in the corner rocking back and forth going, I don't know if the radio's anywhere. I don't know if the radio's anywhere. And so she walked in and she sees me doing the show and she's like, what happened? I said, there was a miracle. People donated the money and we're on the air. In fact, we have our own neck. Yeah, the working woman is home.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old lady got a job so I can sit home and watch Oprah. Wait for my government check to come in. It do come in late sometimes.
Actually, you could clean my guns.
Yeah, what do you mean I'm going to clean your guns? Yeah, well, we're back. That song, The Men Behind the Wire, is a tribute to the 9 Hutari that have been stolen from their families. And we're going to play that every show we do until liberty is rewarded to them and they are returned to their families. And justice is done in the torturer. And I keep forgetting the name of the guy who was tortured. And we want retribution. But we want it in a Christian manner, right? We are not reacting to what they're doing. We are responding to what they're doing. And right now, the way to respond is to train and prepare and harden your hearts for battle. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Pray. Pray hard. Psalm 91 comes to mind. Go to Psalm 91. And just let the Lord be your buckler, you know. Let your faith in the Lord be your motivation for the battle to come. I'm telling you, I have no way of proving it. It's not a voice in my head. It's not the Holy Spirit talking to me. It's a gut feeling that tells me that this nation that has fallen away from the Lord is going to fall apart. There are going to be skirmishes real soon. The third infantry division is occupying America. They are recruiting Obama Gestapo people. It's all taking place right before our eyes. History's repeating itself. It's 1938, 1936, 1937 Europe. It's 1775 in the colonial Americas. Right now, 2010. By 2012, America is not going to look anything like the founders wanted. And it is up to people like you and I, just regular folks, no, not Rambos, not super troopers, just regular folks, shopkeepers, merchants, truck drivers, translators, out-of-work folks, steel workers, to stand up and tell them no. This country is not a communist country, and we do not agree with where it's going. And we have to do that in unison and with one voice, and we have to stand behind our words. So if we're going to live long enough over the next 2 years or so till it gets to the point where we're in a full-on revolution, I hate the word civil war. There's nothing civil about war. In a revolution, a taking back of our nation, we have to survive these next 2 years, which means we have to harden our targets that we live in, harden our cars, make it impossible for them to get us. During the break, I got a call from Steve in Southern California. I'm glad he got the email that we have changed course and direction. We are still on the same mission. We're just using you broadcast now instead of the other one that won't be mentioned anymore.
Gospel Radio Network.
The Gospel Radio Network. Yeah, it's the Gospel Radio Network. That there are things you can do to your landscaping. If you have a stone path leading up to your house, you can rig it so there are ankle breakers. You can make a flat stone look perfectly sound until you step on it, and then it rolls left or right. You train your kids, you train your wife, don't step on that stone. Every third stone is an ankle breaker. It's not very hard to do. He had said that the prickly bush that I was looking for was the crown of thorns bush. I've seen that. Cactus. If you live in the Southwest, get a bunch of cactus. Choya. Jumping choya. Teddy bear cactus. This stuff looks like fuzz. It's terrible. I've fallen in it a couple times in my endeavors. A bullhorn. He had mentioned one of those, like a chip uses, you press it, it's a compressed air or whatever. You press it, it's a loud, ah, ah. People will come from all around to find out what you're doing. If they're laying siege to your house, you lay on that thing. I got that from Corn Key Show a few weeks ago. They said, you make as much noise as you can, if it's firing rounds, whatever, to get everyone around you that's sympathetic to the cause to come to your rescue. So those little horns are great. You can even rig them up so if they open the door, they go off. Another distraction device. They're looking left, well, you're going right. Are you riding along with this? I don't see anybody else chatting. I guess maybe they're listening to me. That's good. I was told when they're not in the chat room, it means they're listening intently. Looks like the work crew is here. We've got the work crew coming in. We're going to do some work here, so I'm going to stay on the radio. So if you hear anything weird, no, we're not under attack. So if he needs any help, Lou, you can go help him. We're trying to do things here, exactly what I'm telling you about. That's all I'm going to say. We have a work party here. We're preparing. I practice what I preach, folks. I practice what I preach. So I'm not just telling you to do this stuff because it's something I read in a book. It's something that I'm doing. Another thing you can do around the edges of your house, you can entrench around the edge of your house and fill it with, that's what I'm looking for, cover it with like a felt paper, kind of, you know, like a rhino trap but smaller for ankles. We use this on the border. We dig holes and cover it with tar paper and then put a little bit of dirt on it, spray some glue on it. So there are these little holes that people would fall in and just twist an ankle and slow them down. Yeah, we're terrible. I'm a big meanie trying to stop somebody from invading the country by getting a twisted ankle. Those are things you can do around your house. Another thing I like to do, and this is a funny one. This comes from a practical joke, just a literal practical joke. You can hang a string off the edge of your house, attach it to a bucket with, I don't know, something that you wouldn't want dumped on you. And just hang it off the edge. You know how hard it is for people to walk by a string and not pull on it to see what it is? It's, you know, I'm talking Three Stooges stuff here, but it works. In a mountain environment, you could do that with a rope hanging down or a vine attached to a small rock, moderately heavy rock, and then that rock is tied to a keystone rock that triggers a landslide. Now, you can either wait for them to pull it to pull themselves up the trail, or you can rig it as a tripwire. You understand what I'm saying? You could also tie a large boulder to, I don't know, about 40 yards of barbed wire that's all coiled up and hidden out of view. And when they trip it, the boulder goes flying down the edge.
Is this what you cut the cheese?
Yeah, I was using a machete to cut the cheese.
Chicken.
She comes out of the chicken. No, the chicken was pre-cut.
Oh.
She comes out of the kitchen with my machete.
Chicken breast? That was so
good. Yeah, that was, it thawed out. And I just spiced it a little bit and put it in there for you. But you can have that boulder attached to barbed wire, and as the boulder goes down, it pulls the barbed wire tight and sweeps across the trail. Just think of the havoc that's going to wreak. You know, there's, I don't know, I love simple stuff. I love really super simple stuff. Motion sensors that detect, they send out a little tone. You can add a very long wire to it and stick it in your house so that when somebody comes down your remote driveway, you know ahead of time. Right? You understand what I'm saying? I just ran a test today. One of the devices that I made, I got 3 9-volt batteries hooked up on a tone alarm. And I wanted to see how long that alarm would go off for with those 3 9-volt batteries hooked up in a series circuit. It went on for 2 days, over 24 hours.
It's still going.
You think it's still going now?
Because I was out there.
I didn't hear it.
2 hours.
But I just want to see how long it would last on the batteries. You know, this tone going. So that's something that I'm working on here. I just went to Radio Shack, get some little buzzers, some 9-volt and batteries and the 9-volt little clip-ons that go on, and a trigger in the middle. It doesn't matter how long the wire is. Ring up your doors. They sell these little ones at the dollar store that stick to the door that take a battery, and when the door opens, it goes, so you, like if you have a kid or something, you know they're going in or out. But people forget to turn those off and on. You know, that's the problem. We get complacent in our security measures. You know, the old tactic of just putting a bunch of tin cans tied to a string, you know, in the part of your backyard where you never go, but might be an ideal way for someone to approach your house. You know, it's going to give you the drop, and maybe they'll run off. I like motion lights. A lot of people, you know, they say, oh, you know, they come off, they go on, nobody pays attention. But if you're paying attention, and you, hey, why did that light go off? You know, you might get it. You might get the drop on somebody. So motion sensor lights, it's a cheap investment if you got it. People are asking me about remote cameras. I get a lot of questions about that. There's a website called 10x.com. I've installed a bunch of their cameras, 10x.com or x10.com. Just Google it. They have really low prices on wireless, remote, infrared, night vision, little cameras. Not something you could use tactically, but you could mount them and run the wires and hook them to your TV or your computer. And, you know, you hear something out back, you use a wireless remote to turn it on, and you get a look at what's going on. You've got to disguise them, though. You've got to make them, you know, put them in the belly of a gnome or something so they don't see them. Because if they're going to recon your house, they're going to look for those kind of things. They're going to check it out. I've told you that what we want to do is have hand crank telephones between all the buildings, you know, so we can communicate out here so they can't intercept it or jam it, and have two or three runs of wire. I've told you about that. I told you about the signaling devices. I told you about, let's see, what else was there? Somebody asked me if you can't go buy silicone spray, you know, what can you do to make the floor slippery? Take your dish soap and just squirt it all over the floor and rub it around after you've gone through. Dish soap is amazingly slippery. So if you don't want to go out and buy silicone spray, just use your dish soap. Well, and if you have to put a little bit of water on it, take a pan of water, throw it, and go. Or you could take up a tactical position and watch everybody fumble and fall. Watch the Keystone cops go nuts. But those are the kind of things that some people overlook. They don't want to make it difficult for people to come in. It's almost like people want to cooperate in their own in servitude. You got to make a little effort here. I mean, even if it's just figuring out how hard it would be to put your couch up against the front door. You know what I mean? Is it hard to move around your living room because there's too many things? Some people say I'm a cluttered person. No, that's me making sure that nobody can get through here in the dark without having lived here for a long time. Sure, that's an excuse for my clutteredness, but in all honesty, it's true. And it keeps people from stealing stuff from me. My cars are cluttered, but they can't see what's really in there. And they're like, oh, this guy's living out of his car. He's probably a hobo. You know, and that's an old samurai trick that I read about. That, you know, the drunken samurai, you know, he acted like he was nuts and drunk, but the truth was he was just hiding until it was time to avenge his master. How you present yourself in public, sometimes it's good to look strong and people won't mess with you. Other time it's good just to blend in like a homeless person. So what you should be doing, taking a look at different wardrobes. Go to secondhand stores and buy some clothes that don't look like anything you'd wear. Keep them in a satchel or backpack. If you're being tailed on foot, especially if you're a lady and the guy's following you, go into a restroom and change your clothes. Change your hair. Be able to change your hairstyle. Change hats. And then wait for a bunch of other women to come in and go out, you know, strike up a conversation with them and go out with them. You've got to be smarter than the people that are after us, folks. And odds are, if you're involved in any way, you're being surveilled, either electronically or humanly. It's more costly to track you humanly, to put people on you and follow you around. So you should be a high-value target. So if somebody's actually following you, be careful. I have to remember that Onello, I don't know what that means, PennDOT, Onello. Onello, somebody, okay. I have to remember that Onello. Not sure what that meant in the chat room. Okay, I'm Dutch Jones. We have a phone. People like to call during the break. That's fine, too. 559-561-8225. That's 559-561-8225. Lou, there's radios in that room still. Go move those radios that they're going to tear out. The radios that I had you put in there, move them. Go put them in our bedroom or something. Take the headphones off. I just realized I don't want those radios getting stepped on. They're going to tear out that centerpiece. So, yeah, there's radios in there. Go. The bookshelf's coming out so we can use it for a comm room. Laugh out loud. I'm not sure what you're laughing at.
You're laughing at me.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Stacy's here. She's got mashed potatoes with bacon bits and cheese and chunks of squirrel on her plate. So she's doing okay. Keep a kit with you at all times that'll have those types of things. An extra pair of clothes that look nothing like you'd ever wear. Stuff that, like, make you look homeless. One thing that I always thought was good is things that make you look like you're working. Get a work uniform, like a janitor's uniform looking thing. You can blend in that way, especially if you try. I used to, when I was being followed, or I was following somebody too, malls are a great way to lose somebody. Every one of the stores has a back exit to dump trash and bring in goods so they don't have to go down the main part of the mall that looks pretty. Find a mall and memorize those things. Figure out the best places to park. Don't do it when they're following you. Do it before, you know, scout it out and know, hey, I can go to this mall.
Rocky Hill's not in there, is
it? I don't know if Rocky Hill's in here. He may be one of the guests. Some people don't know how. If you try to type, it'll tell you where you can sign up and change your name, folks. All you guests in there, there's a bunch of guests. Take part that way, you know. Just go down there and try and type in and it'll say you have to register here. You click on it, and then after you do that, you register with a username. It'll send you right back here, and you can do it. Nobody's commented on my This Is the Enemy poster that I put up. You guys notice that I'm rolling images up here where while we're scrolling. That means we can do video. I mean, I could flip a switch right now, and you could see my ugly mug. I'm not looking too good today. I haven't shaven. I got hit in the face with a branch.
You look good to me.
Thank you, Stacy. Lewis hit me in the face with a mud-filled branch. It was just like wham, and I got mud all over my face, dirt in my eyes. I have no idea why he did that. And then he just looked at me like it was my fault for running into his branch. And then I got the chainsaw, and he left me alone. So just have evasion kits ready. What do I mean by evasion kits? The clothes. Ladies, you can change your makeup, you can change your hair. I'm not talking about going out and getting wigs and stuff. That looks kind of corny unless you're really good at it. Change your shoes. A good way to lose somebody is to change your walk. You got a normal gait, nice stride, go in, change your clothes, come out with a limp. And you have problems trying to develop a limp to make it look good? Put a marble in one of your shoes. I learned that from a great private investigator who said so that he would always have, when he put his right foot down, it looked real. And it confused people. So, like, if I'm following somebody and they burn me, I go in, change my clothes, look like an old homeless guy, start limping. That kind of stuff. Putting a pebble in your shoe will make you limp. It will make you limp. I had a van full of all kinds of different disguises and stuff that were good for that. But my favorite were, like, the Taco Bell uniforms and the janitor uniforms and stuff. Those always worked really well. Make sure you have money in your kit. One of the best ways for me to lose somebody that I've always liked is I go to a movie, I find a movie theater, I walk in it, I get a ticket, and then I pick a movie that nobody wants to see. And I go and I sit in the upper back corner so when they come in, I see them. And you've got the exit out there, plus you've got the exit in the hall. So they're either going to have to put more people on you so they can watch you, and that's it. Yeah, my van, I did live in a van down by the river for several years. Somebody asked in the chat room, was it down by the river? It was a white Chevy van down by the river. And it was okay. I lived on the Santa Ana River for about the first 2 years after my divorce, and I don't mind it. It was a nice hermit period for me. But if you go into a movie theater, it's great. I once lost somebody by going to Disneyland because the guy didn't have the funds to get in. I don't know who he was. But when he went up, he didn't have the, $60 to get a ticket. But I just put it on a credit card, and I lost him. You know how many exits there are to Disneyland? And he, by the time he got resources there, I was gone. So there's lots of ways you can do it. Somebody asked me how to shake a car tail. I think I shared that with you either yesterday or today. Just, take a high point in the parking lot, do the best you can. We're coming up on another break, Lou, in about a minute. Do you have some different songs to cue? Yeah, more Carl Klang would be good. Just one song this time. But don't do it till we hit the 30 mark. I don't want to cheat the listeners out of every minute of these nuggets of truth right there. One of the other things I always found was good is if you go into a mall, you find the security, and you point to the guy that's following you. This works great if you're a lady. You say, hey, I saw that guy outside checking door handles. I think he's looking to break into cars. And then you'll get the security guards tailing him. Because security guards love that kind of stuff. They're, I was a security guard. You're bored, out of your mind at the mall or the, wherever you're at. But you get them on. Say, hey, man, that guy was out there doing stuff. He's asking for the bird. Do you have the surfing bird? I think that's what he's asking for. We're getting a request for surfing bird. We don't have it. I don't know. Unless you're talking about a Carl Klang song, we don't know about the bird. Did we ever play surfing bird on here?
No.
On the show? It's one of Lou's favorite songs. You should see him do the bird. He likes to dance to it. But yeah, rally the use, especially you ladies, rally the use of the men in rent-a-cop uniforms. Real good way to get them off of you. If you're in your house and you notice that there's a car that's always watching you there, one of the things I like to do is I used to order pizza to them. I'd say, yeah, I want you to send a pizza to the Chevy Malibu with tinted windows on the corner of, and they go, what? And I go, yeah, really, I'll pay for it, but I want the pizza delivered to there. Here's my credit card number. Go ahead and deliver it. And that just makes them so mad. Some pimply-faced 18-year-old kid, hello, sir. It's time for your pizza. I said, the guy in the house ordered it for you. It's all paid for, compliments of him. And that makes them mad, and they drive off real fast. If you report them as a suspicious vehicle and nothing is done, you know that they're working in cooperation with the local police. However, most feds don't do that. So call in and say, hey, there's this guy out here. I think he's selling drugs. He's in the Chevy Malibu, all blacked out. People keep coming up and putting money in the window and stuff. Yeah, sure. You know, it looks kind of weird. I just thought you ought to know. They'll send a cop over to check him out. And then it'll embarrass them. The cops will be mad because, hey, you're doing a surveillance without telling us. So use the enemy against each other. Great way of doing that. I used to have cars towed. I had a guy that was tailing me for some reason. I think it was because of my divorce. And he was always out there. He'd be out there, you know, 24 hours a day. This guy was good. So I just called a towing company and said, yeah, somebody abandoned a car. Because you knock on the window, he didn't want to come out. I sent people over to do that. So I had his car towed. Finally, when they were hooking up to the tow truck, he got out and started, no, showing his little PIID and all that kind of stuff. So that's a good call. Call the tow truck company on him. Another thing I've done is you call a couple buddies and pin them in. You put a big four-wheel drive in front of them, big four-wheel drive behind them. Let them come into your house, and then you jump out in your car and drive away, and he can't get out. You don't actually touch his car because, you know, they could say that's assault or something. You just get like 2 inches from his bumper and leave him there. The rooster, we don't use the rooster anymore. Let's play the music. Somebody's asking about the rooster. We don't have the rooster. Go ahead and cue your music. We'll be right back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on U Broadcast. It's the international radio program. I think we're coming out of Scandinavia now. Go ahead and play it, and we'll be right back.
Why so many busy businessmen are snapping from the stress, and the rest of us are jogging from depression? Has it ever once occurred to you or ever crossed your mind that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line, intertwined between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism, there's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. This.
got coffee free with every Model T. It's a crime to even own one if you live in Germany, though it's not an anti-Jewish publication. So if you ever get a chance to get a copy of your own, just remember not to ever leave it lying around your home, cause you never know just where those snoopy news reporters roam. That might even be a friend or close relation. It's the cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. It's the source of communism. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The learned elders of Zion. Go ahead and wail at that wall.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum! We'll set him roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order.
A new world order.
A
new world order.
A new world order. A
good cat!
It's an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time to catch Jones!
Radio program!
And now for something completely different.
For our friend in Taxylvania, the little rooster, there you go. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, that was a nice break. I love listening to Carl Klein. We're going to try and get more songs. We're going to play a lot more music on this show. Just because I think that patriotic music is a good thing. It helps drive and inspire people. I've got a bunch of old stuff that I want to play, and so we'll do that. I just got an email from Liberty Tree Radio. If I want to do a one-hour show, just a one-hour show on Liberty Tree Radio, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific, it would be about $100 a month. But the problem is, I don't think we can do it with the satellite service we have. The way that he gets me to feed into him, I don't think our satellite will do it. So we may just be staying right here. We may do some tests. But you know what? You folks inspired me. The way you stepped up today, the way all of you have come into the chat room. I mean, on a Wednesday, we usually get two or three people. But the number of listeners that we're getting now is great. I'm really happy with it, and I'm moved. Honestly, I was moved by the support, and I'm not going to let you guys down. We're going to keep doing this stuff. Today we had to cut up that tree, and we spent a bunch of time putting together the web feed. It took a lot of work, so I didn't have as good a show put together for you. Quite frankly, I thought I was going to be fielding all kinds of calls about what happened yesterday on the previous network I was on, but. Maybe it's time to move on and just let bygones be bygones. I still think he's in here. One of these guests is Nicholas. I know it is. He uses You Broadcast. You can hear Liberty Tree Radio or First Amendment Radio Live also Liberty on You Broadcast. Live. What did I say? Liberty Radio Live. I keep saying Liberty Tree Radio. I've got to get Cornkey to use You Broadcast. It's much more efficient. I don't know. I'm not of course, you can't really operate a network on here. It's not like I can schedule stuff to play that I know of. I haven't checked everything out on You Broadcast, but it's not really as professional. It's just kind of, I can get on here and talk to all of you. And in fact, if you guys had headsets plugged in, I could hit invite a co-host, click on one of your names, those of you that are registered, and you could come on the air through this system. Hey, Nick, what's up? But otherwise, the phone is live, 559-561-8225. We have some bad news. Stacy just found out that her computer hard drive is dead. It was full of viruses. And I'm gonna embarrass you a little in the air. How did you get the viruses, Stace? She was on Facebook playing all those games that they have on Facebook. Farmville, Mafia Wars, you know, I was a teenage prostitute, all those games. And I kept telling her, don't play those online games. They're full of viruses. Control things that try and take over your computer. Oh, no, they're fine. They're not going to hurt me none. Well, now her computer's dead. She murdered her own computer by subjecting...
So.
Oh, I totally told you so. So I don't like you guys playing games on the computer. I mean, that was your computer, but, you know, you got to learn from it. You wouldn't listen to me. So now we gotta figure out how to get a hard drive. So I think... Yeah. So next time you're on Facebook and you see one of those games, I don't know, Mafia Wars, Vampire Wars, whatever they are, think twice. It's just another way they can put stuff on your computer. I use computers just for this. And like I said, if I hadn't been so busy today, I would have been able to do more research. There's lots of stuff in the news I could be talking about every single day. I try to spend a little time giving you some tactical advice, things that to do and buy, things that work, recommending books or movies. Let's see, where am I here? Oh, I've been really remiss. Don't you find it hilarious, and I haven't talked about this yet, that one volcano has crippled the economy of Europe? An Icelandic volcano burps, and it costs billions of dollars. I have a good friend of mine, MacGyver, who he doesn't listen to the show, I don't think, but he's on Facebook with me. His two kids went over there with his maternal grandparents and got trapped over there. They're still not back. You have people like John Cleese paying $9,000 for a taxi driver to go through the channel to get home.
Yes.
But it's amazing how we as humans take for granted the fact that the Earth is an awesome entity. I don't think it's alive. I know it's a creation that God made for us to live on. But volcanoes. People go, oh, that's not going to happen now. Now they're saying one of the sister volcanoes, that one's ready to burp. And it's going to put up even more ash. And everybody, of course, everybody's all upset. They're stuck in Europe. I'd be mad if I was stuck in Europe. Just another good example of why you should stay home. But if they had put up aircraft and they'd have crashed because the debris, the dust, the, I don't even know what comes out, pumice comes out of a volcano, would have taken down one of those airliners with, you know, a couple hundred people on it, then they'd, oh, the irresponsible airlines, they should have known, they shouldn't have taken off. Well, that's the risk you take when you go to another country. It's so people are trapped in Europe. Everything okay? Oh, you're coming in. More studio audience. So I haven't talked about it, but it approaches me as humorous. An earthquake, a volcano, can so easily disrupt the flow of our life that it surprises me that more people aren't ready for it. I mean, I never would have imagined a volcano doing that. I'll be honest with you. It's not within my realm of understanding. But people are just not prepared for things that happen thousands of miles away that affect you. Now, they're talking that this volcano could stay erupting for months. They said the last time was like 1680 or something, and it erupted for over a year. So what do they mean? They have to come up with new filters on jet intakes? How are they going to function? You know, and it shows how dependent the modern world is on these fragile technologies, very fragile technologies. So my encouragement is to you is to get off of those. And one, don't fly to Europe. if I can't drive there, I'm not going anymore. You know, I can't fly anyway because being on the list. But if I can't get there, I might try train. I don't know how bad the security is on trains now. I've heard that they've upped it a little bit. But I'm going to go out of my way to not go out of my way. I can't imagine what my friend's going through. His kids are, you know, thousands of miles away. They don't know when they're going to be able to get him home. And there's another volcano ready to erupt. And then they're saying all this dust and things that are going into the air is going to affect the weather patterns of Europe. You know, a little ice age. And today, it's snowing where I'm at. It's April in Central California, and it's snowing. Now, I know it's not related to that, but it just shows how ignorant we truly are of the Earth. That God has His plans, and no matter how much we try to control it or categorize it, the planet's going to do what the planet's going to do. Now, whether you believe the watchmaker theory that he just wound it up and it's going to do, or he is actually, his hand is moving and controlling the weather, fine. I tend to believe that God does control the weather. And I think a lot of this is because we've fallen out of grace with the Lord. And we're going to get weird earthly things like this happening. And, of course, all of the environmentalists and all the global warming people are going to turn this to their advantage. Oh, the reason it's snowing in Central California right now at 1,000 feet is because of global warming. Oh, this earthquake is global warming. Yeah. Volcanoes. Volcanoes is global warming.
The sun is affecting the polar ice caps, which is affecting the radiational glow.
The radiational glow? I'm not even sure what you're talking about, Lou. Yeah, Al Gore. Man, bear, pig. But it's funny to me, they've just discovered thousands of deep oceanic volcanoes that they say may be responsible for warming the waters, which creates El Nino effects and all that. And they're saying it's carbon dioxide in the air, this inert gas that plants need to live. So the more they lie, and I hope you're following my line here, the more God proves that they're lying. Do you understand? But as we, as human beings, the creations that God made us, we have a responsibility to prepare for these kind of things and to train our families what to do. I mean, there are faults all over North America. There could be an earthquake in New York. Most people don't know that. A major earthquake in New York. We had several tremblers down there, or temblers, whatever you call them, tremors, down on the border with Mexico. And people were getting ready for a big 8+. Still could happen. I wake up every day thinking, what am I going to do today that is going to ensure that I live till tomorrow? Now, there's the unforeseen things, a meteorite coming out of the sky, a drugged-up gunman, something like that. Aliens taking me to probe me, Lou says. Why would you think that? I don't know. He's
an alien.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're some weird. You want me gone?
No,
yeah, you want me tagged and dropped in some other planet.
No.
So, no matter what the weapon is that is used against us, everything we do just makes sense. So when people come up to you and tell you, "Oh, you're just fanatic. You're nuts," go, "Yeah." What about all those people who got trapped in Europe? You know, what's going to happen if they can't bring them back? What's going to happen if more debris goes near? They're all going to get on ocean liners? Life can throw curveballs at us at any time. It doesn't have to be the New World Order. It doesn't have to be China. It could simply be, you know, a catastrophic failure of an electrical system or of a sewage system or of a water delivery system. And unless you are ready to handle that, even if you have no tools at all, but have the mindset that you've been preparing your mind to be a sheepdog instead of a sheep, you're not going to make it. And the reason I'm telling you this is that we need to spread this sheepdog mentality. You guys came through today for me really huge. Some of you just are amazing. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for jumping in. I just noticed you were there. Sorry if you've been there a while and I didn't notice it, Chuck. We have to spread this sheepdog mentality, and I'm looking for ways to do it. I've tried a lot of different things. You know, I've tried advertising this show on MySpace and Facebook and everything. But we have to go out of our way to promote this show, not just for me, but for all of us. And what we're going to be doing on this network, we're going to be playing Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, John Weaver. We're going to be playing all kinds of different things when I'm not on. If you want to listen to the last show, you can go into the, you know, where it says videos and click on that. This one will be archived as soon as I'm done. You don't have to pay anything to listen to it. This isn't like that other place
Gospel
I was.
Radio.
Gospel Radio Network, Lou says. I just ask that if you like what you're hearing, send us $5 a month. If everybody sends us $5 a month, we'll pay the bill, we'll get the electricity covered, and I can focus on bringing you good programming and reaching out to others. I think what happened with First Amendment Radio is going to turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Luke keeps saying Gospel Radio every time I say First Amendment Radio. He didn't say it that time. He just whispered it. But this is going to be a good thing. I think because of the other host there, because of the hanger-ons that would catch on to my show, the people that didn't believe in the holy cause of liberty like we do, I think this is better. So you can go out and find people, direct them to the dutchjones.tk, and that's how they're going to find us. So you don't have to remember you broadcast or anything. Just go dutchjones.tk. Maybe we should make up some better bumper stickers and send those out to you guys. It's been a while since we've sent out some presents. With the training and everything that's happened with Utara, we've been real busy. But things may slow down a little bit that we can focus on working for the cause. And I'm asking you folks to do it. Spread your sheepdog mentality. Just like fear can run through through an army and destroy it, the sheepdog mentality, the can-do attitude that we Christians are supposed to have, should spread through our societies. And you'll know it. When you meet somebody who doesn't have that spirit of fear, if you guys listen to the sermon that was done before the show, We'll do everything we can to keep sharing that with you. Did he just drop out? I guess that wasn't the right Chuck. I know in the other chat room people would get bumped out. I hope nobody's getting bumped out in this one. I've had nothing but good experience with you broadcasts when I used them a couple years ago and continued to use them. But just promote the show. Tell people to listen to the reruns. We'll try and get some more sermons up. We'll do some more historical spots. I really want this thing to work and grow. And if you know somebody that you think would make a good host on this kind of stuff, or you yourself, you've got to email me at DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. You email me, and we can talk it out, and I'll figure a way that we can get you to use the internet here. Yeah, the sermon from Sunday was incredible. I mean, I think we're gonna just make copies and send that to everybody we know, because there's so many people that are struck with the spirit of fear. There are so many people that take themselves out of the fight, and that fear is the main weapon of tyrants. It makes people turn into little babies and curl up in a ball and just want their whoopee and their pacifier and be left alone. Yeah, their blanket. That's what a whoopee is. Well, people have different things for whoopees. But we've got to spread the sheepdog attitude. Maybe I'll make some T-shirts. You know, the Lord needs sheepdogs, not sheep right now. There's enough sheep. Really? Oh, sometimes in the other chat room over at First Amendment Radio, people would just disappear. They go like, "What happened? I got bumped." So, but I don't think anybody's getting bumped out of this one. We just dropped drastically. We had a lot of people in here, and all of a sudden we're down to 7. I guess because it's winding down, and I'm sitting back in my chair and kind of coalescing my thoughts on what we need to do. So everything's out there that you need. You can come here for advice. You can give advice here. This is the modern day campfire. I will not limit anybody. You come on, you can say whatever you want. You know, because I know the people that call the show. They're not going to get on here and talk about lizard babies taking over the world or anything. Even if you do say that, I'm just going to let you say it and go, okay, on to the next caller. But we've really got to promote this. We've got to get a good listening audience going. We've got to get people that call in and give us reports on what they see and what they hear out there. Articles. You see articles. You guys have been great. You've been sending me articles. You've been sending me videos, stuff to study. I want to be overwhelmed. I want to be overwhelmed by the amount of information that comes in so that we have a lot to talk about. This first show is kind of a rally point. We left that other venue. We came here. You guys came through. You're an answer to my prayers. And so tomorrow, I promise you it'll be more like the regular show where I'll just be hitting you with current events and news and doctrine and maybe discuss the Bible a little bit, give you some verses. I truly, truly want to make sure that you guys understand where I'm coming from. And we have to share that with the general public. So we've got to get them listening. So freely, I don't know how you would download these shows. You'd have to have some kind of software to record them just off your speakers and pass them out. You have my permission. Give them to anyone who will listen. The sermons that we put up, give them to anyone that will listen. You know, I really don't know how you're going to record the video or something on your broadcast. I don't know if there's a way.
You got to use the software to record it.
Yeah, Lou maybe could do a tutorial. We're going to do a lot more with our YouTube site to get that up, maybe to direct people here. We had a big boost for a while there. We had like 1,000 people in just a couple days come and view my reaching out to all the militias. Mm-hmm. But I have yet to see any support come from those people. I was told today that they've sent some money, but I haven't gotten it, so I don't know if the... But when you guys send me stuff, it gets here. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but hopefully we can network with other groups that are out there doing the same thing, and together we can build a strong, strong front. Now we got 9 folks. Somebody's coming in at the last minute. So what'll happen when I'm done with this show, when we go away, it'll just keep repeating itself. And so you can send people here. It doesn't matter. You can say, oh, the replay. No, the replay is going on as soon as they log in to you broadcast the Dutch Jones link or go to the DutchJones.tk. It will start over again for them right at the very beginning, and they can hear the whole show. And if you've got ideas for topics, send them in. And by all means, if you know some unique people that need to be interviewed, I don't care if they're in the Klan or whatever. If it relates to the holy cause of liberty and they're fighting a battle, send them this way. Give them the information for the show. I will interview them. I will interview anybody. I've interviewed some of the weirdest people in my life, being a television cameraman and a radio journalist and all the other little things I've done part-time. I'll give everybody his 15 seconds of fame. I'll let people come on here and voice their opinions, unless it's vulgar or something. Nicholas yesterday was saying, what next? Are you going to interview sodomites and talk about what they do in the bedroom? I mean, that's childish. That was just ignorant. That's ignorant.
Yeah,
that's just ignorant to say something like that. So, if it relates to the Constitution, it relates to the struggle of our rights, if it relates to militia, history, anything like that, we'll do it. This show is not about me. It's not about, you know, whether people like me or not, or whether I sound good on the radio. It's about the topic that we're trying to discuss here. In the old days, people used to send letters around during the First American Revolution. Second American Revolution, which I call the War of Northern Aggression, the same way. That's what this is supposed to be. We're supposed to exchange ideas, support one another, pray for one another. In fact, the gentleman who goes by the moniker Batfag, B-A-T-F-A-G, he's not here tonight, and I just remembered it, and I wish I'd have said it sooner, because his father had a stroke last night.
Oh, no.
So he's in the hospital taking care of his father. So prayers for he goes by Catholic, he uses different monikers. But
Obama
he uses in here, but his father had a stroke during the show last night. So he had to run off, so he's not with us today. Obama isn't here, Catholic isn't here, so we'll pray for them. And he stepped up and he made a donation today too. So we really appreciate that, and if we had a wall of fame, we'd put you on it, but we don't really have a wall of fame. So that's pretty much it. I'm here for you. We're here for each other. Tomorrow we'll talk more topical stuff, get a little bit of politics. I want to talk about what Arizona is doing right now with illegal immigration. Stacy wants to move to Arizona. I want to talk about how Oklahoma is talking about reinstituting their state militia, the pros and cons. Well, there's some good sides and bad sides to it, and those kind of things. We'll get back on topic. Today was just kind of a, wow, we just moved out of our house and moving into a new one. Let's take a break. If I could have had a barbecue, and you know, I would have done it for you guys, but you're all too far away. So thank you for your support. Get another Carl Klang song ready so we can go out on a song. Thank you for your support, both spiritually and monetarily, and for the...
Love you guys.
I got tons of email from you guys as soon as this thing started, and all of those of you that took our side in the dispute, and know that I did it because it was the right thing to do, God's going to... you're going to be blessed by the Lord, you know, because I'm not going to stand by and be part of a radio network that discriminates against allowing people to talk on it because they don't like what their group is in. You know, I don't understand. I just don't understand. Look at the other programs there. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He had a different standard for what I could do on my show versus the others. You know why? I didn't pay him for my show. I didn't pay a penny for him. He let me on, and in fact, he redirected funding to me. I was getting some money from him every month, and it was gracious. And it was for people, I think, promoting or sponsoring my show.
Buying
the copies of my show. So that was great. You know, I'm glad he did that. But I just wasn't a big enough fish. Because I talked to Micro Effect. It's $25 an hour to do a show on Micro Effect. And I know that people have left First Amendment Radio to go to Micro Effect. So that means he must be more if he charges. Because he would leave someplace that you're free to go someplace where you have to pay unless there's some huge dispute over control of the programming and the show. So those of you that were able to get into his chat room, thank you for telling me what was going on over there. We've been blocked from First Amendment Radio. I'm interested to see how he's going to react when he comes to church. I'll be nice. I mean, I'm a gentleman. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to, like, shove him around or anything. And I admonish anyone who's going to attack Nicholas, don't do that. You guys got enough problems as it is.
It's almost the end of the... Oh, wait.
It's, yeah. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Go ahead and play the music, Lou. I like to talk on our music bed.
Turn
it down a little bit. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you all, and thank you for your support. I'm Dutch Jones. God bless you, and good night.
It's fraudulent leash of this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. Would you like to know the reasons why your taxes are so high? Would you like to know what fuels inflation every time you buy? Would you like to know who takes the biggest slice out of your pie? It's the Federal Reserve, and I'm here to tell you why. It's not that complicated to explain in layman terms. When something's really rotten, it is sure to crawl with worms. And that something really rotten happened in this nation's past. It's been feeding on our prosperity until now we're sinking fast. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. How would you like to print up money on your very own private press and loan it out to all your friends at staggering high interest? Bet it wouldn't take too long until you own the whole neighborhood. Well, that's what the Fed's been doing since our Congress said they could. Now our Congress shirked their duty back in December 1913. That's when the value of our money changed from gold to inky green. And when they shrugged the Constitution off, they damned this nation's fate. It was a blatant violation of Article 1 and Section 8. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. You got the FBI, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission Agency, and they all have one thing in common, that is they're federal. But here's one thing if you haven't guessed. There ain't anything federal about the Federal Express, and the only thing federal about the Reserve is that it's criminal! Now if I was to tell you that we're under martial law, and there ain't no sense in waiting for the final axe to fall, and that the money that we're spending's really military script, would you say that I've gone crazy? Would you think that I've been hit? Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. No, the Federal Reserve isn't federal.
It's just criminal.
At all.
Let's just dump it.
All right. Well, I was going to play just a bit of the song, but you know, I couldn't help. I couldn't resist.
Oh, that's-